In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters. November 26th, the year of our Lord, 2022, here at First String Sports, in between Bullard and Herndon on Blackstone Avenue. This is definitely the place to be. I love being here at First String Sports. I do my show in a Letterman's Jacket room, so I'm looking at Letterman's Jackets from Clovis West, Clovis East, Kingsburg, Liberty, Garza, Fresno Christian, Buchanan. Come on down here to First String Sports every Saturday, 10 to 12, for the next 2 hours. This is going to be straight high school football talk in the central section. Last night was Championship Friday. Last night, we crowned six Central Section champions from Divisions 1 through 6. Incredible, incredible games last night. I can't wait for the next 2 hours to talk to guests all up and down the Central Section, their perspective of the games. We're talking with Cam Worrell after the break. Cam was able to broadcast the Central Valley Christian and Lemoore game. Incredible, incredible football game. 108 total points. Lemoore won that one in an upset. Well, maybe not an upset, right? The 3 seed beat the 1 seed. A remarkable, remarkable game. I was following on Twitter because we were at the we broadcasted the San Joaquin Memorial Liberty game. We'll get to in a second. But following on Twitter, and just it was just scoring galore. Ended up being 62-46 in regulation, not overtime, right? But, I mean, just points aplenty in that one. Talking with Cam Worrell after the break about that one. Talking also with Gabe Camarillo a little bit earlier, usually talking around 11 o'clock the last month or so, but bringing in Gabe around 10:32, talking about the games up and down the Central Section. He was able to really, hone in on some of those games, and he's got a great perspective, so can't wait to talk to Gabe. At 11 o'clock, Mark Tennis from Cal High Sports. Mark Tennis is a friend of the show. Cal High Sports is definitely the leader in the Big Three, football, basketball, and baseball. A little bit of softball, but they do an incredible job. Talk with Mark about state playoffs. Where are some of these winners from last night? Where does he predict that they will land next week? Yeah, they're still state playoffs, which is awesome. So glory last night in winning a Central Section title. But for the winners, their season's not over. They still have a chance to win a state championship. After that, talking with a dude, a stud, right, from Lemoore. Ty Chambers, one of the best quarterbacks in the Central Section. Last night, well, what'd he do on the biggest stage, Division II, in hostile territory in Visalia? He threw 6 touchdown passes. So we're going to be hearing from Ty Chambers. He's our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. And then after that, what an incredible story. I got the Shafter coach, Gerald Perucci. They defeated Carruthers last night at Carruthers, 41-35. To win the school's first section title since 1955. That's in Division IV. Just an incredible run that Shafter had. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. That was a game where they were down 35-14. Again, following that on Twitter. And I'm like, Carruthers, it wrapped it up. They're hot too, right? They had a great run. Brandon Ward's done an incredible job at Carruthers. Had him on the show the last 2 weeks. Heartbreak City for Carruthers. However, Shafter, great story. So you're going to hear from Coach Perucci. Very excited about that. And, hey, only a couple days ago was Thanksgiving. Hope you guys had a really good Thanksgiving. I did. I was able to go to Sacramento, hang out with my in-laws, of course, watch football. Just always, always great to get together with family. And my daughter was in town from college. She goes to Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff. So great to have my entire family Thanksgiving. Hope yours was great. And, you know, Thanksgiving got a lot better for six teams last night. And last night also, I want to mention, capped off our coverage on 1430 ESPN of high school football. Had a great time broadcasting games with Jose Gonzalez. Did a couple games with Gabe Camarillo as well. So thanks to 1430 for being able to shine a light on these great student athletes up and down the Central Section. So last night, yeah, those are our last football game that we're going to be broadcasting. But we're moving into basketball. We're going to do some basketball games for you guys, so really excited about bringing those to you. A couple other things before we get into the game. So right now, happening in about 20 minutes at Woodward Park. The state cross country meet's going on, guys. Buchanan girls, they're starting around 10:30. They're the defending champs, and they got a really, really good chance to complete a back-to-back state title. Not a section title, guys. This is a state title for Buchanan girls. Coach Brian Weaver does an excellent job. So, yeah, we might know the results. Yeah, we should know the results of that during the show. So I'll be checking Twitter, and Gabe Camarillo also produces the show. He'll probably send me a text or let me know about that. But, yeah, Buchanan girls trying to defend their state track or their state cross country championship today. Also, before we get into the games, I want to mention that next Saturday at the Save Mart Center, there's a big deal going on. Big deal all day, a huge basketball showcase. Pretty sure about 92% they're going to be broadcasting a game or two from that. The marquee game around 8:30 is going to be Sound Kim Memorial, our local team, against this school called Sierra Canyon. Perhaps you've heard of them, the powerhouse Sierra Canyon. Yeah, that's going to be amazing. And who do they got on their team? Well, LeBron James's sons, Bronny James, who gets a lot of pub. He's a senior. There's another one of James's sons is a freshman on the team. Scottie Pippen's son is also on the team. And Anthony Hardaway's son is on the team. Talk about star power. So next Saturday, Save Mart Center, huge basketball showcase. Want to give a shout-out to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's talk about our Central Section champion teams. Division I, the game that we were at. Liberty Patriots, they did it. They beat San Joaquin Memorial 29-13. Back-to-back championships for the Liberty Patriots. Lots of things going on in that game. We know how impressive Brandon Ramirez, the running back from San Joaquin Memorial, has been all season, and especially the playoffs. We broadcasted the Central and San Joaquin Memorial playoff game, the Clovis West and Memorial playoff game, and then last night, the championship game. And he's got respect, man. He's got respect up and down the Central Section. He busted out a couple of very, very impressive touchdown runs. So in the first quarter, he had a 62-yard run, right? Obviously, Liberty is trying to stop Brandon Ramirez. You stop Brandon Ramirez, and you got a good chance of winning a Central Section title game. So first quarter, though, he busted one out. 62 yards, up the middle, got to the second level. Nobody could catch him. And you could just hear an audible gasp of the Liberty Patriots fans. They were, first of all, it was a great environment. It was standing room only. The stands were filled. We were directly behind the Liberty fans broadcasting the game. And when he ran that 62-yarder, it was like, whoa. It was almost like, yes, okay, so that's the Brandon Ramirez we've heard about. But it wasn't enough. He had another incredible touchdown run, a 20-yard run where he ran over a Liberty defender at about the 4-yard line. I posted on Twitter, and again, that was one of the most hardest impact for touchdown runs I've ever seen. And he blew by the kid and scored a 20-yard touchdown run. So that actually gave Memorial a 13-9 lead in the first half. But then there was a 3-yard touchdown run by Cole O'Brien, the quarterback for Liberty, after a fumble. Actually, Ramirez fumbled the ball in his own territory late in the second half, in the second quarter. So with 1:35 left, they took a 16-13 lead, talking about Liberty. And then the Liberty defense just came to play in that second half and shut out San Joaquin Memorial. The passing game for Memorial, Carson Dean went 5-for-8 for only 44 yards. They weren't able to get anything going in the passing game. I mean, Liberty's defensive backs are really, really good. And Creshawn Kizzy had a 65-yard punt return in the first quarter. Actually opened the scoring, 3-and-out for Memorial. Punt return, boom, touchdown already, 6-0, 6-0 Liberty. And then the Ramirez run, and then a field goal from, hey, check this out, the kicker's name at Liberty. His name's Grant Metters. So that was fun. Don't know if he's related, but Grant Metters spelled like my name. That made it a 9-7 game. Then a Ramirez run, 13-9. And then the O'Brien run that I said made it 16-13. And then the defense, took over. Metters had a field goal. Creshawn Kizzy had an 80-yard touchdown catch, to make it 26-13. And then there was another field goal late to make it 29-13. And San Joaquin Memorial falls to Liberty. So congrats to the Patriots. An excellent year for San Joaquin Memorial as well. Nothing to hang their head on for sure. And then the Lemoore and Central Valley Christian game. I'm going to talk with Cam Worrell about that, and Gabe Camarillo as well. But yeah, just points aplenty, man, in that one, 62-46. Ty Chambers with 6 touchdown passes, like I said. Central Valley Christian's Bryson Donaldson had an incredible game, over 250 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns, 1 touchdown receiving. But it wasn't enough, and I did hear that, unfortunately, Jaden Moore wasn't able to play in that game. He was sick. He had some type of an illness. He was spotted on the sidelines in street clothes. So, oh, how heartbreaking and disappointing it is for not only for the team but for Jaden Moore to not be able to suit up and play in that game. And you better believe that played a big part in that Lemoore scoring 62 points. I know, obviously, Ty Chambers threw for 6 touchdowns, but Jaden Moore is a beast on the defensive end and really disrupts lots of things. So, yeah, so Central Valley Christian, their undefeated season comes to an end, and Lemoore, gosh, those guys are hot. And we'll be talking with Ty Chambers in hour number 2 about that game. Division 3 championship, Kennedy of Delano beat Sunnyside 40-20. Wow, 40-20. The defense of Kennedy was definitely on point in that one. Sunnyside was seeking their first Central Section title in school history, but they fall to Kennedy. Wow, really, really good defense. Good job by Kennedy. In Division 4, obviously we're going to talk with Coach Perucci about this one, but Shafter upset Carruthers 41-35. In the Division 5 championship, Pioneer Valley was up 13-0 over Atascadero in Atascadero, and Atascadero scored 27 straight to win Division 5 championship 27-13. And a Division 6 champion, congrats to the Mendota Aztecs. They beat Hanford West, a 1-seed, 38-8. So there's a quick rundown of some of the scores. We're going to be getting into those games more in depth with my guests. Coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report, Cam Worrell talking about that wild Lemoore and Central Valley Christian game on 1430 ESPN. Business here on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Matters. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. I did a quick rundown, as quick as I could, about the incredible Central Section Championship games from last night. I want to bring on Cam Worrell, friend of the show for sure, Chowchilla grad, all-conference Fresno State, 6-year NFL vet, Bears-Dolphins, broadcast Fresno State game. Was that the Lemoore and Central Valley Christian game last night? And we were talking before the game. Cam and I were able to talk and just the keys to this game. And we're like, man, Lemoore is dangerous. Be careful with those guys. We know how great Central Valley Christian is, and undefeated, and 2 really good players. We're going to get to one of them who unfortunately looks like wasn't able to play due to an illness. But, I mean, Cam, first of all, thanks for coming on the show, man. But, man, what a wild, wild game that you were able to watch last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it kind of lived up to all the hype. But we were talking before the game, you and Gonzo driving down to Bakersfield to watch Liberty and Sound King Memorial. I mean, that was everything that we thought it would be. Unfortunately, no Jaden Moore, which I was really excited to see him in person. But, you know, it was, man, punch after punch after punch being thrown, and really – you know, the difference kind of came down to a blocked extra point, and CVC had to kind of chase points after that, and Lemoore was able to finish them off. But, man, it was 62-46 was the final. It was a very well-played football game, just a couple of really explosive offenses that really were not stopped all night long.
Where did you get a sense that the game – like, when did you – realize you just turn to Ralph Wood and say, oh man, we're in for a lot of points? Was there a certain point in the game where, like, I don't think anybody's gonna be able to stop anyone?
Yeah, it was like 3 minutes into the game, maybe 5 minutes into the game, because, you know, CVC went down, they scored on both their first drives. They were able to stop Lemoore. Then after that second touchdown drive, Lemoore returned the kickoff back to the house, and I was like, man, you're going to need 50 points to win tonight. Like, this is – you're going to have to score 50. Both these teams came in averaging – you know, Lemoore was averaging 49 points a game, CVC 42. So you knew there was going to be points, but, yeah, it was very early on. It was 14-7. Lemoore hadn't even really, you know, gotten a rhythm offensively, and they were able to put some points on the board. And CVC, I mean, it was Donaldson – a couple of long run and a long catch, and you're like, man, you're going to need to score a lot to win this game tonight. So it was early. We knew we were in for a track meet.
And it was actually 21-7, Central Valley Christian. Looks like about 5 minutes into the first quarter. I mean, we got 63-yard touchdown runs right by Donaldson. We got 81-yard kickoff returns. We got, you know, just all kinds of crazy plays. When you're watching a game like that, is it hard to be able to differentiate yourself from being a fan to a broadcaster to a former player? Are you just kind of like flipping through all those different channels when watching a game like that?
Yeah, I mean, when I do these games on TV, I'm probably a fan first and foremost, because just, you know, like, these kids, they play so hard, and you know, I was a high school player. I know how much playing the game of football means to these kids. So I'm probably a fan first, but you know, when I'm sitting on the couch, I'm watching what's happening in games. Like, I'm looking at coverages, I'm looking at where pressure is coming from, I'm looking at adjustments. So it's kind of just how I watch games now. So I just sit there in the booth with Ralph as a fan, enjoying, you know, and last night, a lot of offensive firepower, just enjoying watching these kids play so hard and make these plays. And I know, you know, I never got the chance to play on TV in high school. Just what a special, you know, moment that is for these kids. And I just sit there really in awe of the level of execution. There's such a high level of football played in the Central Valley. It's really, you know, I think totally underrated in the state of California. There's a different physicality. There's a different emotion. There's a different energy that these games have. And it's, man, I'm just a fan watching it. And it's really a cool experience to get to sit up in the booth and call some of these games.
I agree. And I was privileged to watch Brandon Ramirez run the football for the last 3 weeks as well. But Lemoore has a pretty special player. We're going to hear from him later in the show. But Ty Chambers, the stud quarterback for Lemoore, threw six more touchdowns in that game. He's got some talented playmakers, some dudes that can make plays. But, I mean, how good is he as a quarterback, is able to read and his knowledge of the offense? And, you know, what about his game that impressed you?
Yeah, I mean, Lemoore puts a lot on his plate. You know, he does a lot in the RPO game, so it's really up to him based on what he sees post snap. He can give it to a couple of pretty good running backs that he has. He can keep it, you know, on the zone read keep, which he did a couple times last night for positive yardage, or he can throw, you know, some quick game, and Lemoore kind of lets him dictate where to go with the football based on what he sees. So, you know, obviously he's talented. He has a great arm. I mean, threw a couple of deep balls last night, just right on the money. Hit his receivers in stride, let them keep running. He's very athletic. I mean, had made a couple plays with his legs to extend drives, a couple of third down conversions. But, you know, I think the most impressive thing is just how he operates this offense. There's a lot of guys to get the ball to. There's a lot of decision-making that has to take place after the ball is snapped. And it's all on Ty Chambers' shoulders. And, I mean, man, 95 times out of 100, he's making the right decision with the football. He's getting the ball into, you know, the right spot, or he's keeping it and doing some positive things with his legs. He's very, very impressive. He wears 42, which throws you off a little bit. You're not really sure what to think when you see him the first time. He's got long hair coming out of the back of the helmet. But, man, he is just a baller, and really, really impressed with his decision-making after the snap last night, getting the ball to his weapons.
And I got to watch him in the scrimmage against San Joaquin Memorial. And I didn't know – I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't know that much about Lemoore. I didn't know exactly who they were bringing back. And when I saw him on the field for, you know, a few possessions, I'm like, yeah, this kid's got something. He was long, and he had big strides, and he threw a pretty football. But, yeah, what an incredible year for Lemoore. And then, you know, on the flip side, and you know, when we have conversations, we talk about the thrill of victories and the agony of defeats, and, you know, these moments in high school football that, you know, that hurt and sting and stick with you for a while. But I mean, for Central Valley Christian to come this far to 12-0 undefeated, they want to be one of the greatest teams in Central Valley Christian history with a shot at the state title. No, all those dreams are dashed, but you know, what an incredible year for those guys. Obviously, Jaden Moore not playing hurt, but they got a dude, right? That running back, Bryson Donaldson. I haven't seen him personally, and hopefully next year I'll be able to. But you know what? What's impressive about that kid?
Yeah, he's the real deal. I was really excited to watch him play after his production last week against Hanford. You know, ran for like 250 and three touchdowns. He's the real deal. He's a Division I running back, no doubt. I mean, he's a great mixture of size and explosive ability. I mean, he has long speed, but man, he puts his foot in the ground and he gets up to top speed very quickly. Running backs like that are really hard to stop. And he had another great night last night. I mean, ran it well, caught it out of the backfield well. He was a complete mismatch for that Lemoore defense. It was really unfortunate that Jaden Moore was not able to play. You know, you make this run, you're 12-0, you're the number one seed, you have a really good Lemoore team come into your house. It was packed last night, standing room only. I mean, people were standing all over the stadium, behind the end zone. They were hanging on the rail. I mean, it was seriously packed. It was such a great environment. And, you know, one of the best players in the section was unable to go. I really feel for Central Valley Christian because, you know, we were texting pregame and I thought, man, there's a big athletic mismatch. Lemoore has some dudes and I don't know if CVC can hang with these dudes. I was kind of wrong. I mean, Lemoore, they definitely made some big plays, but CVC, man, they threw punch for punch with them. They made big plays, not just Bryson Donaldson, but they had a couple of other players catch balls and outrun some of these, you know, athletes from Lemoore. So they battled the whole time. Mason Hughes, I think, is one of the classiest individuals in the Central section. Just such a good individual, you know, prayed with both teams after the game, told Lemoore, go win a state championship. You know, just a complete class from an individual. You feel for them, though, man. I think if Jaden Moore is on that field, you know, I don't know if they pull it out, but at least CVC is at full strength and you have a really special player that you can get the ball to as well. They really missed him last night.
Yeah, I could attest to that with Coach Hughes. He's a friend of the show too, and he's as class as it gets. He's, you know, he's a good he's a man of faith, and so yeah, that's good to hear. And I think we need more of that in high school football, right? You see, sometimes at the end of games, things can get testy, and yeah, we get it. But you know, we all come together and wish each other well. It hurts. Losses hurt. We wish each other well. I think that goes a long way. A couple more minutes with Cam Worrell here. Looking back, Cam, at the entire high school season, you like our broadcast team here at 1430 are able to see different games and different kids, but what are some of the main things that stand out to you in watching high school football this season?
Man, I think just there's a physicality that is played here in the Central Valley that I don't know if it exists ever. You know, you look at Bosco and Modern Day and some of the high-level teams down south or even up north with De La Salle and Folsom, you know, they're physical. They play at a really high level. But, man, there's just – I think it means a little bit more in the Central section. I think football is just ingrained so much into the culture here. It's so important. Kids really look forward to, you know, being a high school football player and everything that means. And, you know, football, the game itself is such a great teacher. I love to go out on Friday nights and watch these kids perform. And you can tell it means so much to them. And there's a lot of talent here in the Central section. There is a lot of really talented young quarterbacks. We're going to see over the next couple of years, I mean, the sophomore class of quarterback, probably Ty Miller at the top of that list over at Clovis East, but Caleb Matthews over at Garza, Deegan Rose, the freshman at Clovis High. I mean, there are young quarterbacks all over, you know, the Central section who are going to continue to get better, continue to work on their craft. And I think the Central section, you know, they're in for some treats in the next couple of years with the quarterback play that we're starting to see around the section. So buckle up for that, man. It's going to be a fun ride for the next couple of years. I can't wait to see some of these young kids continue to develop and hopefully snag some, get them on TV, watch them perform. It's a pleasure. It's a blast. It's a blessing to be able to call these games on TV. The production over at CW it's fantastic. The production crew is so good, and it's so fun to call these games. And I know it's the same for you over at 1430. Just it's a treat to get to watch these kids. And you know, as long as I can do it, I'm going to do it. And I know you guys feel the same over there. It's a lot of fun. And hats off to all these kids all season long, nothing but effort, energy, intensity, emotion. It was a blast to be a part of.
I agree, and that was part of my send-off. Jose Gonzalez gave me a couple minutes to sum up, kind of like the question I just asked you about, you know, how special this season is, and you know, the effort that these young men put out there. You know, and you're a football guy through and through. I played basketball and baseball, so I never got to experience those things that these kids are experience as far as football and putting your bodies on the line. But yeah, I definitely agree. Cam, we got about 30 seconds here. Bulldogs, how much of a hurt are they going to put Boise State next week, man? How fired up are you right now? Let's go.
I had a dream last night that Fresno State went to Boise and beat them down, no lie, last night. So I'm so excited. Jake Haner's back. Evan Williams is back. This offense is rolling right now. Defensively, last night they had it all together as well. These dudes are going to come for the throat of the Boise State Broncos. I cannot wait to be on that ugly blue turf next Saturday, because it's going to be a heavyweight fight, no doubt.
I agree, and I can't wait to hear you talk trash about that blue dirt or whatever they call it over there. I'm just so excited, Cam. I love listening to you. Thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate you, my friend.
Of course, Paul. Always, man.
Cam Worrell. Oh, man, I love talking to that guy. He fires me up too, man. I knew I couldn't end with a closer on that question. It'd get me fired up. All right, coming up after the break, talking with Gabe Camarillo about all the other five Central Section games that went on, maybe a little bit more about Lemoore and CBC, coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. And this song fucks me up too, man. I remember listening to this Van Halen song for the first time and hearing keyboards. I'm like, what? Keyboards in a rock song? What? How awesome is that? So, yeah, that song definitely is one of my favorites, one of the classics. Gabe Camarillo coming on right now, produces my show, does an amazing job. He's the host of Home Field Advantage Monday through Thursday, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Follow him on Twitter at GabeCamarillo_. My partner in crime, I go on his shows on, actually, this last week we because of Thanksgiving on Thursday, I went on Tuesday. We made a couple bold predictions. Some turned out to be true. Some turned out to be false, right? Got to mix in a little bit here. Got to be, got to be a little controversial every once in a while. But Gabe, last night, man, that was it. 6 Central Section Championship games. We've been talking about these teams and games and projections since August, since you started your show and, you know, when my show got going again. But oh, man, I could not get to sleep until about 2 o'clock last night. First of all, I got home a little before midnight. But, almost like Cam Worrell dreaming about, you know, Boise State and Fresno State whooping them next week. I felt like I was dreaming about these games last night. I mean, what an incredible evening of football last night.
Yeah, really. And this whole weekend is just full of football. I'm looking at the college football slate, and you got Oregon, Oregon State, and Ohio State, Michigan right now. And then you have USC Notre Dame later tonight. It's just this whole weekend after Thanksgiving, you get Thursday NFL football, and then Friday Central Section Finals, and Saturday you get rivalry week in college football, and then Sunday, obviously, the NFL. So, yeah, this whole weekend is always my favorite weekend every year, especially because we get to crown 6 new Central Section champions.
Yeah, so let's start at the top. Obviously, I was able to broadcast and see firsthand the Liberty and San Joaquin Memorial game that won by Liberty 29-13. Memorial, they had a chance. They had the lead 13-9 late in the second quarter. A fumble led to a Liberty touchdown. I just felt like Liberty was just more balanced. They had more juice than Memorial. Brandon Ramirez actually left that game late in the fourth quarter. He got a helmet to the knee. He was limping after the game. I saw him in the parking lot. But Liberty, despite a 3 seed, and we talked all year, it was just wide open, but Liberty proved to be the best team this year.
Yeah, it was wide open, but I feel like everyone in the back of their head thought Liberty's probably going to win it all. Like, we said it was wide open, and it truly was, because Clovis West, Buchanan, Memorial, they each had their moments this season where they really looked like the best team in the Valley. But at the end of the day, there's a reason why we put Liberty as the preseason number one, right? I think when they lost to Buchanan in that lightning-shortened game, we understood that Buchanan was probably the better team that night, but that Liberty would be back. And Liberty did come back, and they beat Buchanan last week, and they got to host a game, and they got to beat San Joaquin Memorial. I think throughout the season, Liberty proved to be the most complete team. Some teams had not enough offense. Some teams didn't have enough defense. Liberty, I don't think they really had an issue. I think the two games they lost, one of them was a close one to Buchanan, and it was the third week of the season. And then the other one was against a really good Carlsbad team that made some noise in the San Diego section playoffs. So I think Liberty's been the team to beat all season long, and it doesn't change in the playoffs. And now I can see them probably going on a run in state like they did last year.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to be talking with Mark Tennis after the 11 o'clock hour, and he'll be – making some predictions, obviously, from the results from last night, making some predictions on where our Central Section teams will be playing in the state playoffs. So, Gabe, Lemoore and Central Valley Christian, you know, obviously Cam Worrell did a fantastic job shaping that game up for us. But Lemoore Tigers, their first section title since 2005, which is actually their only title in Central Section history. Lemoore, I mean, the Tigers, dangerous team. Their only loss was to Clovis West.
Yeah, I think what is really special about this win is two things, really. The first thing is that this class has grown up together, played Pop Warner together, and they won everything at every level. And Pop Warner, they were the champions. And in junior high, they were the champions. They've been successful their entire career. So when they faced adversity as freshmen and sophomores, when they were pulled up on varsity and they lost in blowout fashion to San Joaquin Memorial and Hanford in the COVID season, it probably stung them a little bit. They probably didn't know what to do after that. But I think that was a really good move by head coach Rich Tooman, which was his first year during the COVID season. He had to try and rebuild a program in the middle of a pandemic. He said, I'm going to put this class to the test. I'm going to play them at varsity as freshmen and sophomores and watch them grow. And he saw the results. Last year, they had a really good season. They lost to Bakersfield in D2 playoffs. But they learned from it, and they came back firing this season. And that's just one reason why I think this is a special championship. The other reason is a lot of the members on this coaching staff were on the team in 2015 that beat Hanford, an eventual state champion Hanford, by the way, and went all the way to the D2 championship when they lost to Lawrence White and that really good Ridgeview football team back in 2015, a year where I think Ridgeview beat Liberty and the D2 champion might have been better than the D1 champion. So that's heartbreak for Lemoore, right? That season, that was their year, and they couldn't win at all. But those players became coaches, and they lived vicariously through this year's team, and they were able to get it done against a monster of a team in Central Valley Christian.
Yeah, you think about some of those great teams that Lemoore has had in the past, and obviously a lot of our Central Valley people's minds go to Lorenzo Neal, the great running back slash fullback that played there in Fresno State and had a great career in the NFL. And then David Asbury, right, really good receiver slash
Charlie Jones.
Yeah. I mean, they had tons of studs. So congrats to Lemoore on a great season. Kennedy and Sunnyside, right, 40-0. Kennedy, you've done a lot of research, Gabe, and me in the last week about Kennedy. And, you know, I made some predictions on air, made some predictions in print as well. And, wow, what a defense that Kennedy has there. Those guys aren't a joke. And you talk about Lemoore, how that class has stayed together. Well, Coach Milan and his team, that class has stayed together for a long time, and that senior class is really tight. But, man, Kennedy put it all together against Sunnyside.
Really tight. You can almost say they're family because they are family. You got the Orozcos, older brother Julian and his younger brother Esteban, the running back. You got the Sanchezes. It's really cool how this team is literally a family because they're somehow related to each other, and that's how tight-knit this team is. But I got to give credit to my guy, Aiden Garay-Gordobo. He is a reporter for the Delano Sports Media. He told me about this Kennedy team pretty early on. He said, Gabe, there's this good team in the Sassicoya League you got to keep an eye on. They lost a close game to Edison. They got a wake-up call against Kennedy or against Highland. And when they were 1-2, I think that kind of humbled them a little bit. And that told these Thunderbirds, we have some work to do. And they never looked back. They won every single game after that loss to Highland. And a couple things I wanted to mention as well. I heard from Aiden that against Mission Prep, what they decided to do to counteract Mission Prep's high-powered passing attack was rush 6 and drop back 5. So that leaves the middle of the field open, but it really puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback to make decisions in a hurry. Watching the highlights that we aired on ABC 30 last night, Tanner Wilson was under pressure so much of the game, he didn't really have much time to make a decision. So I think that played a factor in it. Obviously, Sunnyside got a lot of points on the board later in that game, but when Kennedy went up 19-0 at halftime, that gave the defense some cushion to make some mistakes because you knew that they were bound to make them against a more athletic Sunnyside team. But getting up to that early lead was huge for Kennedy because they played comfortable from that point on.
Absolutely. I think the game became a 33-7 at one point as well. So, and we forget that's Kennedy's fourth Central Section championship, right?
Yes.
Fourth.
Yeah. And they were in Division 6 back in 2014. Look how far they've come.
Yeah, congrats to Kennedy. And then, hey, speaking of the Sequoia League, Shafter Carruthers, right? So following that game, it's 35-14 Carruthers at one point. I'm like, ah, look at the Blue Raiders. They got this one in hand. And another touchdown by Shafter. Another touchdown. All of a sudden it's tied, and then they beat the Blue Raiders 41-35, a game that you were at. Can't wait to talk to Coach Perucci towards the end of the show and get his perspective on this incredible run that Shafter has. But, Gabe, I'm going to give you the floor, man. How do you explain what you saw last night and the great run that Shafter has had?
I feel like a prisoner of the moment saying this because I've said this like twice earlier this season, but that was probably the best high school football game I've seen. And I'm going to have a top 10 list sometime later this week of top 10 games of the season. And Buchanan Clovis West will be on there. I'm sure there will be some other Shafter and Carruthers games that they've had. The Carruthers Kalinga finish was amazing. But I mean, have we seen a 21-point comeback yet this year in the section? If you have, then please let me know. Please let Paul know. But to come back from three touchdowns down. And when I walked into the stadium, it was just at the start of the second half, just at the start, because I caught the first half of Mendota and Hanford West, and I went over to Carruthers and watched that second half of Carruthers Shafter. And I heard it was a really close game in the first half, but the first two plays, or it seemed like the first two plays of the second half, a beautiful touchdown pass from Colin Hirschkorn to Asher Cummings, like a 57-yarder. And then like two plays later, it was a bubble screen for Shafter and Landon Almeida, who is the son of women's basketball head coach Anna Almeida at Carruthers. He picked off a pass and took it 20 yards to the end zone, made it 35-14 Carruthers. So I'm thinking, wow, the Blue Raider Navy in the West end zone's going crazy. The crowd's going crazy. Carruthers was sold out. There was not a parking spot to be found in three blocks around that stadium. And I thought this all looks to be a Carruthers win. They're going to win it all. No one told that to Shafter, though. Nobody told that to the freshman quarterback, Ezekiel Osborne. And that's what I really can't get over, Paul. This freshman, I mean, how many freshmen throw a pick six and are unfazed by it? I mean, most freshmen kind of curl up in a ball and say, okay, we'll get him next year. Not Ezekiel Osborne and not his freshman teammates, because what he did was remarkable for any level of class. It could be a senior quarterback. It could be a freshman quarterback. But what he did was remarkable because after throwing a pick six, he leads that team right down the field. It was a big 68-yard screen pass. Carruthers sent the house. They sent the blitz, and Shafter made them pay with this screen pass. And if you blitz and you have a screen pass coming, you know that's going to be wide open field because all the defenders are coming at you when you throw the ball. There's no one that's going to be able to tackle the running back rolling out to the right. So, yes, 68-yard screen pass. It was wide open. They got down to the 8-yard line. Shafter punched it in on 4th-and-12, and that was only the beginning. Carruthers goes 3-and-out. Shafter gets the ball again, and Shafter throws, I think, a 68-yard touchdown pass from freshman Osborne to freshman Marion Sloan. Makes it 35-28, and Shafter's starting to believe a little bit, right? They're starting to get hype. They're starting to realize we're on the precipice of something special. Carruthers again punts, and Shafter does what they did the first two drives. They score another touchdown. Koa Rhodes brings it in. I think Koa Rhodes was coming back from a serious knee injury in this game. Prior to his injury, he was one of the top running backs in the South Valley. He scores the game-tying touchdown, 35-35. Paul, it was 9 minutes left in the third quarter, and it was 35-14.
Wow.
7 minutes later, 2 minutes left in the third quarter, it's 35-35. So at this point, right, all the momentum is Shafter's. It's all Shafter. The Generals are going ballistic. Carruthers gets the ball back, and on the second play of the next drive, Hunter Babb breaks free, as he has so many times this season. How many times, Paul, have we seen Hunter Babb just break free, break loose, all green in front of him? He's done it so many times. He's had like 200-yard games, like it's going out of fashion. He's really had a successful season. But you got to give credit to one guy who saved the game, Rafael Roman Amador, because Hunter Babb was gone. I promise you, there wasn't someone within 10 yards of him, and Rafael Roman Amador just speeds up, and then he's 5 yards behind Babb, and then he's right there behind Babb, and I think as Babb was about to cross the pylon, Rafael Roman Amador outstretches his right hand, swipes the ball out of Babb's gloves, and it bounces out of the end zone for a touchback. What would have been a 42-35 Carruthers lead ended up being a Shafter ball, still tied 35-35. Carruthers never got closer to the end zone than that. Shafter kicked two field goals in the fourth quarter and played some clutch defense to keep Carruthers off the board. It'll go down on the books as a 41-35 win, but it's more than that. It's a comeback for the ages. It gave Shafter their first Central Section title in over half a century. And I don't know what gets better than that. That is my candidate for game of the year.
Well, that might be play of the year. You know, if we ever go that far, and I'm sure with you and I, we could break down games of the year, players of the year, and teams of the year, and all that stuff. But yeah, I saw that on video for the first time this morning, and you described it perfectly. They were about to go in talking about Carruthers, and just came out of nowhere. We think about, you know, when you get the knock the ball out about when you're about to cross the goal line, you think about the Super Bowl, right? Leon Lett, those types of things. And that's exactly what happened, right? And it went out of the back of the end zone. And so they were able to, you know, get possession. And so did you just feel at that moment, again, Carruthers is a special place, and Coach Brandon Ward has been a friend of the show the last couple of weeks, does an amazing job. But you just feel like the air being taken out of the stadium when that happened, right? Or maybe when the game finished. Was there just a look of shock in the stadium with Carruthers?
Well, I think so, because you think about what happened the first or the previous three drives, right? It was 35-14 and Shafter scores on three straight drives. I think Carruthers was taken back a little bit, and they were looking for any sliver of momentum, and they looked like they had it with the Hunter Babb touchdown. I honestly think if they score, we're talking about an entirely different game. I think Carruthers wins if Hunter Babb scores, because they would have a lot of confidence. The defense would have a pick me up. But after that, I truly believe, Paul, it took the win out of their sails. And Shafter, they just never stopped scoring. I mean, I think they scored on the next two drives with field goals to make it 41-35. And you got to give credit also to Coach Perucci, because he was firing up the guys on the sidelines. He was wearing his heart on his sleeve, and he was really getting the Generals to believe that they could pull off a comeback like this. And think about Shafter's path to this game. They beat Strathmore. That was a tough game.
Yeah.
Then they have to go to number one Liberty Madera, and they're trailing, I think, 13-7 late in that one, and they get a miracle.
I believe it was 13-0.
No, it was 13-7. Okay. It was 13-7, but they were down like in the final 2 minutes, 13-7, and they throw like a miracle 65-yard touchdown pass with 30 seconds left to beat Madera Ranchos. And then they have to survive an almost comeback by Torres Toros to get to this point. And then instead of trying to fend off a comeback, here they are trying to mount one, and they do it. And one more time, freshman quarterback Ezekiel Osborne, that pick six could have deflated any other quarterback, but it didn't for Osborne. He looks like a freshman in some ways, because the way he holds the ball, it's like a freshman would. You know, he's a little inexperienced in other ways. But when he throws the ball, that does not look like a freshman right there, Paul. Yeah. He's like 6'2", 6'3". He is a dude. I know Cam was just talking about young quarterbacks to watch in this section. Pay attention to Shafter for the next 3 years, because Osborne, he's bound for special things.
Oh, man, I can't wait. That's awesome. So Mendota beats Hanford West 38-8. So congrats to the Aztecs on that one. So, Gabe, we've only got a couple minutes here. You know, just Fresno Unified, or Fresno County, the only championship team to come out of that is Mendota. So, again, you got Liberty of Bakersfield, you got Lemoore, you got Kennedy from Delano, you got Shafter, and then Atascadero in Division Five. Oh, man, it was kind of interesting not to have any local, I guess you could say, I mean, around the Fresno-Clovis area, not win a Central Section champion or even host one. It was kind of a strange, eerie feeling. But, I mean, if you're into diversity, Central Section certainly had it this year as far as champions go.
Yeah, well, I think this is kind of like the universe's way of balancing out, because we've had the championship in D1 up here every year since 2013. And I know the Bakersfield people are probably tired of having to drive up here, because Liberty's been up here, what, 14, 15, 18, and 21. So, yeah, I'm sure they were tired of driving up. I'm glad that the Patriots got to host one. And hats off to Brian Nixon. I know we kind of skipped over that game a little bit, but Brian Nixon winning his third D1 title as the head coach there, he's definitely in the conversation for one of the top coaches, not just in the Valley, but in the state.
No, absolutely. And yeah, good point. I'm glad you were able to bring that up. But after the game, and, you know, I love to observe coaching staffs and sidelines and body language and all those things. And when Liberty won, again, you're winning the game on a kneel down, so it wasn't like super dramatic or exciting in that way. But there was confetti that was flying on touchdowns, which was awesome. I, you know, posted that video and got to see that. But they celebrated almost like they played the game of football. They were all business. They were jumping around a little bit, jumping on each other, but they weren't going crazy. They weren't being, overly excited, which they certainly had the right to. But
that's because
the way
they
celebrated is the way they play football. It was really kind of refreshing to see.
That's because this isn't their main goal. They went to the state championship game last year and lost a heartbreaker to Sarah Gardena. They want to go back to that game, and they want to win it all this year. They want to win state. I know the section is on their checklist. Their checklist is like this: win the league, win the section, win the regional, and win state. They've done two of those things. They're probably going to go to Pittsburgh because they hosted Pittsburgh last year. If they beat Pittsburgh, they're back in the state championship game, and that's where they want to be because they want to avenge last year's state championship loss.
No, they will. We'll be talking all about that with Mark Tennis from Cal High Sports coming up after the break. But Gabe, thanks, man. We always enjoy talking with you and texting after and before games, and you got a lot of stuff to talk about this coming week on your show. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you, Paul.
You bet. All right, coming up, Mark Tennis from Cal High Sports talking about where some of our teams are going to land in the state playoffs, and Ty Chambers after that, and then talk with Shafter coach himself, Gerald Perducci, about these incredible wins and incredible comebacks and what it feels to win the first section championship for Shafter since 1955. Coming up on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
4th Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Meaders. You can follow me on Twitter at PaulMeaders. We mentioned a little bit in the Liberty San Joaquin Memorial game last night that Liberty's kickers last name is Meaders, spelled just like mine, and it's not a very popular name. I've been called lots of different things, Meadors, all kinds of stuff. But it was pretty fun to hear the last name Meaders announced over the loudspeaker as well. So, yeah, a lot of fun calling that San Joaquin Memorial and Liberty game last night. Liberty moves on. They are the Division I Central Section champions. And just had some great conversations with Cam Worrell and Gabe Camarillo. Now, talking with Mark Tennis, who's the editor at Cal High Sports, does a fantastic job. He is also a friend of the show. Love running into Mark at various events and chatting with Mark. So, Mark, thanks for coming on this Saturday morning. Really appreciate you.
Hi, Paul. Thank you very much. Nice to hear you, my friend.
You bet. So last night, I mean, what were you able to go to a game? Were you just on Twitter retweeting game updates, or what were you doing last night?
What I was able to do last night is because there was a doubleheader in Sacramento at Hughes Stadium in Sacramento. They had Grant in Division III in the San Joaquin section, which is kind of a great team we've covered over the years. Grant was playing Christian Brothers at 1 o'clock, so I watched that game. Stayed over for the Folsom game against Oak Ridge, which started at 6 o'clock, and it was kind of an early start, which really worked out well for me because I was able to, see that San Joaquin game, and then Sacramento City College isn't that far from Stockton. You just jump on the freeway, and was able to get home in pretty good shape to catch the end of almost all the games that started at 7:30. So
nice.
That made it work out really well.
Absolutely, and we drove from Fresno to Bakersfield, and that the Memorial and Liberty game was just a little over 2 hours, and a little bit of traffic getting out of the stadium. I was able to get home before midnight, so I was pretty excited about that. But out of all the six Central Section teams that won last night, I guess you can consider about three of them were upsets as far as seedings go. But were any of the six games surprising to you?
I think not really. I mean, Lemoore, winning over CBC wasn't really a surprise. When you really look at Lemoore, more closely and see their only loss was to Clovis West, and some of the way they were scoring points, not wasn't really that much of a surprise. Possibly the margin of victory for Kennedy in their win over Sunnyside was a bit, I thought Sunnyside would do better. Other than that, nothing really, you know, Shafter's coming from an eighth seed to, you know, beating Liberty and then, beating Carruthers at the end. That was a great victory. And that's probably a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah. And, Gabe Camarillo and I talked about that game. He's able to watch the second half and bring it in the Shafter coach, later in the show as well. So excited to hear from him, but, you know, the central section, where do you predict? Well, you know what? Let's go back a little bit. Can you explain to our audience out there how state playoffs work? And, you know, I got to be reminded myself, there's only one game in NorCal and SoCal, and then the teams are going to meet. It's not like a true tournament, right? So can you just give a little bit of an overview of how many games there are, first of all, in the different levels and how you win a state championship?
Well, you have to look at it. You have to win a section championship to get in. There's no runner-ups. It's a section champion. There's one team that lost the playoff game that is in, and that's Pittsburgh in the north. And Pittsburgh has this unique situation, really unique to the whole country, but they're in the same section and same division as De La Salle, which wins literally every year. So they devised this kind of formula where Pittsburgh can lose to De La Salle, then play another game after that. And that game was last night against Clayton Valley, which they won. So then they technically are in as a section champion and not as a runner up. So, but other than that, everybody has to win to get in. And then there's basically 56 teams that are basically can get in as section champions. And so you have to basically, you know, you're going to have half the teams on one side in Northern California and half the teams on the other side, which is Southern California. So, and the math doesn't add up for the central, for the South. The math doesn't add up. So you have to have some central section teams in the South, sometimes as many as four, to make it add up, to make the sides equal. If you understand what I'm saying, there's a NorCal game and a SoCal game. So to make the math work, you have to have central section teams kind of going either one. And that's really the challenge for the CIF. And they work closely with Ryan and the central section staff on which schools should be moving. And they tend to put the teams in the northern part of the central section, in the north. And they tend to put the teams in the southern part of the section in the south. But then you have a team like Liberty, which, you know, they're kind of at the top of the central section, and they usually are going to be in the north, the top central section team. So that tends to be the way it goes, and that's kind of how you start when you look at it on who's going to play who.
So there is the open division, which is the big dog. So it's the open division for the north and the south, and then there, yeah. Am I right? Is there 14 games after that? So Division 1A, Division 1, AA, yeah. All the way down to 7?
It goes all the way down to 7A. And open division teams do not have a game leading into it, so they will just play each other. Then we already know this year there's a school that has opted out, which is Fall River of the Northern Section. And they won their Northern Section Division 5, and they opted out. And they don't like pull in the second team, the second place team, or that. They're just not in. So that creates a bye for somebody. If you remember, I think Bishop had a bye from the Central Section a couple years ago because it was such a weird travel situation that they just gave them a bye, and they went to San Francisco, or they went to Vallejo, or I think Vallejo or Richmond, and played. But there's going to be a team that's going to have a bye this year as well. And Mendota, the bye is usually toward the bottom of the board. So
okay.
Mendota could be a team that gets a bye, possibly, perhaps. So we'll see.
So where do you think Lemoore is going to end up in the state?
Lemoore is a tough one. It's probably one of the toughest ones because there's a lot of teams in Northern California and the Bay Area and in Sacramento that are all kind of bunched together, starting from about McClyman's, and moving down to teams like Vanden and San Ramon Valley, which won last night. El Cerrito is undefeated. Marin Catholic is expected to finish undefeated in their section today. You have a team like Foothill of Palisadro way up north. I didn't actually check to see if they won. I assumed they won, but I should have checked. I don't know if they won their game, but assuming they won, you know, there's all these teams that sort of bunched together. And Lemoore would be in that group with like a Grant of Sacramento as well.
Ooh.
So I don't know where they're going to put
them.
I have them in the South right now.
Okay.
Because although it just pushes everybody down if you put Lemoore in the North. So I have Lemoore in the South. And I have them in around D2A. Which is kind of where the Central Section Division II team has been traditionally, like San Joaquin Memorial, when they had a team that got to state. I think they were in 2A at that level. So that's kind of where I have them, and they're opposite probably the fourth or fifth Southern Section Championship team, which we don't know who that is yet, but because they have games tonight. It could be Etiwanda. It could be St. Francis of La Cañada. Which is who Etiwanda plays. That's kind of the level where I see Lemoore fitting in the best, is at that level, which is not a bad spot for them to be. You don't want to be too high. You don't want to be too low, because then you want anybody to get wiped out. But I think they fit best in the north and the south because of all the teams that are like them in the north, and I think the boards balance out better north and south if you do it that way. But could be wrong. Of course, it could be wrong, and it wouldn't be, you know, they can. That's kind of where they are as a team. That's the hardest part of the projections. It's the hardest part for the CIF. Last year, the CIF put McClymans of Oakland in Division 3A, and they just slaughtered everybody. So you don't want that to happen. So a team like McClymans is going to be a lot higher this year than they were last year because of that. So, and I saw Grant yesterday, and I've seen McClymans. I think McClymans is better than Grant, and Grant has a great tradition, and both of those teams probably would be higher than Lemoore, most likely, but that's kind of where Lemoore is, like around Grant, Marin Catholic. That's kind of the level I think they would be at. And I think there's just a lot of NorCal teams in that same range. And I think just Lemoore fits better in the South.
We're talking with Mark Tennis, editor at Cal High Sports. So out of our six Central Section teams, are any of them like guaranteed a home playoff game? Or how does that work? Is that just at CIF's discretion?
A lot of it is kind of trading back and forth. A lot of it is based on, you know, you play on the road one year, you play at home the next year. And like you have a rematch, it very definitely could be a rematch situation between Pittsburgh and Liberty. And since Liberty hosted the game last year, there's a very good chance Pittsburgh would be hosting this year. And it has nothing to do with Liberty being ranked higher or winning last year in the game. They get another home game. No, it doesn't work that way. The CIF's basically policy, if you want, for want of a better word, is that the team that a team like Pittsburgh as a section champion shouldn't be traveling 2 years in a row.
Yeah,
to Bakersfield. So,
well, I remember that.
Go the other way around. This
I remember time. That a few years ago with Folsom and Central. Right?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
We were able to watch that incredible offense that the Folsom have, and Trent Tompkins led Central team, where I think it was 80 something to 50 something. Incredible track meet that we were able to witness at Central. So, yeah, I don't think Folsom liked too much coming to Fresno for that one. And, put on a show in that one. We talk a lot all season about how our rankings are done, how our, the seedings and the playoffs and Cal preps and all this. But, in what you've seen up and down the state, and nothing's perfect, right? But what do you think for the Central Section with what you know on how our section works, what do you think is the best way to decide who plays in what division? Should it be before the season starts, all right, these teams are in Division II, they're staying in Division II, or they're staying in Division V, they can't move up? From your perspective, because you see everything up and down the state, what do you believe is the most true and fair way to do it?
I think it's more like teams let know what divisions they're going to be in. And I think everyone always brings up these examples of a team that gets a bunch of transfers and just wipes everybody out. But those examples really aren't that common. They're pretty unique. The more common situation is a small school getting put into a division that's just too high.
Yeah.
Dos Palos shouldn't have been Division II last year. That was a joke. Example like that. In a complete competitive equity situation, Lemoore and CBC probably would be in Division I and they'd be out already. And I don't think that's right either. So I think that's more common to see teams that are slotted in too high than where they should be. And yeah, you might have a few wipeout games, but you know those teams kind of deserve to have wipeout games. They're really good. So I think the CIF goes overboard a little bit too much to avoid the first round blowouts at the extent of rewarding mediocrity to teams that are 500 or lower. Or, you know, in the Central Coast section, you have a team like Palo Alto, which was 4-6, and they got into Division 5, and of course they won Division 5. So stuff like that, I think, is that bothers me more than a team losing 56-0.
Yeah, I agree. And, our section teams, I feel like the Central Section titles just hold a lot of weight, obviously, for a lot of teams when they get into state playoffs, we might as well go for the win. But I feel like our Central Section does a really good job of making our championship teams just, you know, making it feel really special. And you're a sure Central Section champion forever. So I think that holds a lot of weight. And state playoffs, if you think about it, are pretty new, right?
Yeah, they're since 2006. But yeah, Everybody getting in is only I think it's only not even 10 years old yet, where every section champion gets to go in. That's a newer concept in the state bowl game system.
Yeah. Mark, we really appreciate you. Our time is up, unfortunately, but you guys have to subscribe to Cal High Sports. I'm a big subscriber. I retweet their stuff all the time, just chock full of information. It will basically cost you a cup of coffee every month, and there's lots of free articles on there. I mean, they go back throughout the history of California and all sports. They do a great job of covering our Central Section as well. So, Mark, always appreciate you coming on the show and talking, and have a good rest of the weekend, my friend.
Thanks, Paul. You too. Take care.
All right, that's Mark Tennis of Cal High Sports. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Ty Chambers, a dude that has absolutely tore it up all season, and especially last night, 6 touchdowns against Central Valley Christian. Where will Lemoore end up in the state playoffs? Well, Mark Tennis seems to think SoCal. That's kind of weird, right? Bakersfield going, Liberty of Bakersfield going up north, Lemoore going down south. What? Okay, well, that's just kind of where we're at with the state playoffs. So coming up, talking with Ty Chambers on 1430 ESPN. Wish we had a little more time to see where exactly he predicts the our Central Section championship teams will play in the state playoffs. I don't think we mentioned this, but the brackets will come out tomorrow because there's a few games in SoCal that are being played today. So by, I don't know, around 2 o'clock or so tomorrow, we'll know where our Central Section championship teams will be playing in the state playoffs. So either NorCal or SoCal, if you win one game, you're in the state championship game, which is really, really awesome. And speaking of really, really awesome, Ty Chambers, the quarterback from Lemoore, we got him on the line right now. Central Section champion after beating Central Valley Christian last night. Threw for 295 yards, 6 touchdown passes. Incredible. And a wild win. On the season now, has a 36-3 touchdown to interception ratio. Yep, 36 touchdowns on the season and only thrown 3 interceptions. So, Ty, first of all, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate you. On late notice, after your win, finally we were able to connect, and thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me, Paul.
You bet. So when you woke up this morning, right, you know, what was going through your mind? You're like, man, we are Central Section champions. I mean, what exactly was going through your mind this morning when you woke up?
Like, I was still feeling this feeling from last night. Like last night, like, it didn't hit me as hard as it did this morning. Like, I don't know what it was, but, like, this morning I was just like, dang, we really did this.
That's awesome. And then were you got on your phone right away this morning? Were you texting some of your buddies like, did that really happen last night? Dude, we were champions. Did you have you been talking to anybody this morning or anything, connecting with anybody?
Yeah, I was texting my boy. I was like, man, I love y'all. Like, we really came out and we champions now. And, yeah, I got a lot of texts from a lot of people that are, like, congratulating me and all the supporters. So, like, I appreciate all that.
And I think, like what you mentioned, last night it probably seems like a blur and a dream, but when you woke up this morning, it's going to hit you a little bit different. And I think for the rest of your life, it's going to hit you in different spots. Like, yeah, we really did that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what, that really happened. So you deserve all the accolades. But when the game finally ended, though, like, what was mm-hmm. the celebration like? You're obviously in Visalia. You guys were the 3 seed. Central Valley Christian was the 1 seed. But when the final whistle blew, signaling the end of the game, were you jumping around? Were you able to kneel down the ball? I don't know quite how it ended, but what did the end of the game look like?
No, yeah, we got the ball back within like 50 seconds, and we got to knee the ball. And I just took a knee, and I stood up, and I was just like looking around, and I was like, we really finished the game champions. And I was like looking at all my teammates and getting up with them and just hugging them, like yeah, it was just a good time.
So you got to kneel down. Do you even know what you did with the football? Did you throw it, or did you just lay it down? Do you even know where that football is?
Oh, honestly, I don't know. It's probably somewhere.
It's a big blur. Going into that game, you guys were playing some phenomenal football. You guys were as hot as anyone. I mean, did you guys think that you were going to be able to put up 64 points? Obviously, Jaden Moore wasn't able to play for Central Valley Christian. That would have made a big difference. But did you, like, imagine you guys could score that many points against that defense? Were you like, hey, maybe we could score 40 and win this game? But did you ever imagine you could score 64 points?
60, like, definitely wasn't on our radar, but, like, it ended up just happening. We always go out there, we got to just focus on the drive right now, because we got to win that drive, because that's the only one that matters. And we just kept winning our battles, and at the end of every battle, we ended up winning the war.
And you made a lot of big plays, Ty. And so what exactly was working well with your offense? I see a couple long passes, obviously 6 touchdown passes, but there were some kickoff returns as well that you guys had for touchdowns. But, I mean, what was working with the offense? Was it just, like, everything was clicking, everything was in sync?
Honestly, I think we were just making big plays at the right time. Like, we weren't on the same page early. And then later on, we knew that we had to make plays, and we came, like, everybody came up big for each other, and we were all playing for each other and trusting each other.
And you guys were down 21-7. I believe that was still the first quarter. CVC scored the first 14 points. Were some doubts creeping in during that time? Or like, hey, guys, we know we could put up points? Or what was going through your and your teammates' minds, you think, when you guys were down in the first quarter?
Yeah, when we got down, I was getting a little frustrated, but I knew I had to keep my cool because it was literally only the first quarter, so we had a lot of ball left that we had to play. So we just had to stay focused, and we had to get in the rhythm and keep rolling from there.
And is that something that you feel like you're a senior, that you've really developed this year as being the leader of the team, being a calm presence? Is that something that came easy to you, or something that you had to fight, something that you really learned from your coaching staff?
I definitely learned a lot from my coaching staff, because last year I definitely had a little trouble with my leadership and, like, my frustration. But this year I've gotten, like, way more calm and a better leader. And I know that my team feeds off my energy, so I always got to stay up and stay calm and make sure my boys are good.
Absolutely. And from thinking again about last night, what is one play from last night that you think you're going to remember for a long time? Is there a play that's sticking in your mind right now?
Definitely, I'm going to say 2 plays. One of them was the first pass to Kobe. That was like the 70-yard pass. And that one, like, really woke us up. We were like, all right, like, now we're clicking. But the other play is when Isaiah, our lineman, jumped up and one-handed intercepted the ball on a screen pass. And he almost took it to the house. And that ended up giving us good field position so we could tie the game up right before half.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. So who are some of your other teammates from last night that you feel really, really, really stood out and really helped you guys win that Central Section Championship?
My teammates that stood out were definitely DeMel Turner, Isaiah Morales, Kobe Green with 4 touchdowns, Aiden Price, my center, he was locking stuff up yesterday. So those boys were balling yesterday.
That's awesome. Do you have you guys started to design your ring yet? Do you have a clue of what you might want your ring to look like? Or is that, like, out of your mind right now?
Right now, I'm not even sure what the possible, like, what I could even make my ring look like. But right now, I'm just trying to get the state ring now, so.
I gotcha. Yeah, we talked about, you know, where you guys might land next week in the state playoffs. We're thinking maybe SoCal, and hopefully you guys will be able to host a state playoff game. That would be awesome. But before this season began, you know, I was able to watch you and your scrimmage against San Joaquin Memorial, and that's when I, you know, became, you know, aware of you and your skill set. But did you guys expect to be in the conversation of winning a Central Section title? Like, this senior class and your guys, was it just like, guys, we're winning it all this year?
Honestly, like, when that scrimmage, it really put us in a place like, oh, we know we could compete with, like, some of the best dudes. Like, we can go out there and have a shootout with these dudes. And every week, we just focused on going 1-0. We really just focused on the journey, and then the destination came, like, naturally. So we just had to focus on each and every game one at a time, and then we ended up making it to the Valley, and then, yep, we came out as champions.
Do you believe that loss to Clovis West, did that help you guys at all? You know, sometimes there can be good losses in a season. We're talking with Ty Chambers, mm-hmm. the quarterback from Lamar. Like, sometimes the losses can be good throughout the season, but did you, like, hey, guys, if we want to be the best team possible, we gotta beat teams like this. Did you guys feel like you learned a lot from that Clovis West loss?
Yeah, we definitely learned a lot from that loss. It really, like, woke us up and, like, made us realize that we really got to lock in. And if we want to become champions, we had to step up our level of play. And, yeah, it just opened up a lot for us.
No, I agree. And let's go back a couple years and talk about the COVID season and how rough it was for everybody. And were you were on varsity during that COVID year, right, when you guys only played a couple games?
Yeah.
So looking back at that moment, do you feel like Coach Tooman did a great job of preparing you guys and leading you through adversity and teaching you lessons? All of those moments in your high school career led up to the moment of last night winning a title?
Coach Tooman has definitely done a good job of just, like, keeping us, like, on the grind, always, like, keeping us on the same page, on the same track, so that, like, nothing went downhill, because it started off rough in the beginning, but once COVID ended and we started doing good last season, like, we really started picking stuff up, and Coach Tooman really kept our heads on right.
So it was all about believing, right, and believing that you guys mm-hmm. could do it. And going back to that scrimmage that you talked about against San Joaquin Memorial, what has been your favorite moment during a practice this season? Like, are you do you like to cut it up sometimes? You like to keep things loose, but is there a fun moment during practice, or maybe even during a pregame meal that really bonded your team?
I think the funnest thing that bonds our team is when we go to Foster's on Wednesdays. Like, all of our players, after practice on Wednesdays, we go to Foster's Freeze, we get ice cream.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. This is definitely the place to be. Oh, man, this is I love this place. Come here for all your sporting goods needs, and, you know, I'm in the Letterman's Jacket room, and this is the only place to get your Letterman's Jacket, man, in the Central Valley. So come on down here to First String Sports. They are my sponsors from day one. They do an incredible job. Big thanks to them. All right. That had great conversations, man. This has been an absolutely loaded show, talking about the great games from last night, where teams are going to end up in the state playoffs, talking with Gabe Camarillo about the games, and one game that he was privileged to watch, man. And I went last night. I wish I was at 6 different places at once, but incredible Shafter at Carruthers football game. We're going to be talking right now with Shafter coach Jared Perucci. What an incredible run they've had through their playoffs. Check this out. So as the 8 seed, they took care of Strathmore at home, their only home game, right, 42-21. Then they go on the road, upset number one and previously undefeated Liberty, 14-13. Then they take on Torres, win in overtime somehow, right? In a crazy game. Then they go to Carruthers, down at 1 point, 35-21, and come back, 35-14, actually, and come back and win 41-35. A game they were down, yeah, like I said, 35-14 at 1 point. Road Warriors. Coach Ferrucci, how do you explain what went on last night?
Ah, shoot. it's pretty much the game was pretty much a microcosm of our season. I mean, we had, and I think that's something that a lot of people, when they look at our record going into the playoffs, I think a lot of people just saw 6-4.
Yeah.
But you know, we lost two games by 1 point. Our Taft and Chavez game, and then we lost it overtime to Wasco. So we had some really close games that could have went either way earlier in the year that we could have easily have been 8-2. But I think that's the nature of our kids. They're such a young group, and I didn't say it a lot to them, but I would say it to others. It's like they don't understand that what they're doing and how they're doing it, because we would make mistakes, just mistakes that young players make. And you shouldn't be able to do those mistakes and still win games. And they were figuring out ways to win games. And last night was a primary example of that. Everything came down. I mean, that play that Rafa made on their running back was all hustle and just pure desire. And that was the game saving play. I mean, obviously, I mean, they go up 42-28 or 42-35, something like that. And, who knows? I mean, that was a big momentum swing, because I think we went down and scored and that actually tied it up. So, I've labeled them the cardiac kids for a reason. And,
absolutely.
It's the truth.
And I think with such a young team, sometimes they're not completely aware of the situations. They just sometimes go out there and just play football and just play the game and let their natural instincts take over. Has that been the case a little bit with this squad?
Yeah, I think so. You know, and I think one of the other things, and this isn't really talked about much. I mean, I was an O-lineman. I played college football, played an offensive. I was an offensive lineman my whole life. You know, offensive linemen are just different dudes. They're just, you know, they love to have fun, but they have a little nastiness in them. And it's just like a switch that they're able to do. Our team is led by our offensive line. You know, and usually when you have skill guys that are leaders, you know, I've never been a skill guy, but I've, you know, had to protect them. So I understand a lot how they are. When you have linemen that are usually your leaders, the mentality of the team tends to be a little bit more gritty. And, that's this team. I've watched them go through adversity and never give up. I think that's I've never seen them come off the field or after a drive where it was like, this is over with. And I think their youth plays into that. Cause I mean, we had a team, in 2018 that made a championship run, and that was a senior laden team. And I think the pressure and the finality of everything can become a little overwhelming, and this team never really allowed it to get there.
Well, when you guys were down 35-14 at that point, were you still, you know, firing the guys up? Was there a big speech that you gave these guys, or what was the mentality like when you guys were down in a hostile environment like that?
Well, at halftime, I'm up in the box, so I'm the play. I call the offense, and then I needed to remove myself from a lot of the stuff there, just so I could. This is a young team. I just felt like I needed to be good with this team as far as my play call goes. So I removed myself from the hustle and bustle of the sideline. So when I went down at halftime, I told them, and this is what it kind of been something I've preached all year. It's not a skill thing. It's not a scheme thing. It's between the ear thing. And so we need you. We just got to lock in. We changed a few things. We changed up some concepts to take advantage of what they were doing defensively. And then defensively, we made a few adjustments. Of course, they came out on the very first play from scrimmage at after halftime and scored. But it was really just, I got up there and we came out trying to establish the run, and we did a little bit, but not as much as I felt like it. Their defensive front was really athletic, and a few of our guys struggled with that.
And so I just said, hey, we're just going to have to, my assistant coach that's up in the box goes, Joe, just throw the ball. And so we came out and just, you know, easy went down the field. And he threw that one bad pick to the defensive lineman. But other than that, him and he was really spot on and made some really heady plays, I mean, for a freshman. And then also connecting with Marion, who's also a freshman, on some really big plays. It was it was just one of those things we had to take. So they were giving us the pass, and as soon as they went out to defend the pass, they gave us a lighter box that we could try to run the ball. And in the fourth quarter, we were able to grind out some clock and some yards to give us an opportunity to put some put a few field goals on the board.
Yeah, so ended up after a 35-35 tie, kicking a couple field goals for the win. Talking with Gerald Perucci, head coach at Shafter, after their amazing win at Carruthers. You know, you mentioned your freshman, right, Ezekiel Osborne, and the incredible run that he's had throughout the playoffs. And you guys didn't come in very hot as well. You lost your two games before the playoffs and then made this incredible four-game stretch. But, you know, and then you mentioned your other skill guy's a freshman. So what can you say about this kid and you know, his skill set that he brings and how you've been able to coach him this season?
Well, you know, I've said it a lot. I've coached some really good quarterbacks in my time, and he is by far the most, learned quarterback. I mean, his dad and his parents have just really poured into him, just becoming a good student of the game and good at his. He's just sound. And then I have a great quarterback coach. He's my nephew, who's really worked with him a lot this year. That just has allowed him to grow. And I think the biggest thing, though, is the guys around him just believe in him, you know, and it's not it's a hope. It's like, if we can give this kid enough time, our receivers are good enough and he's good enough to make people pay. And I think that type of just trust, it doesn't come from platitudes or anything else. I mean, Easy hangs out with his offensive line. That's those are his friends. It's who he hangs out with. You see him, he's walking with our center or one of our guards. He's always with those guys, and that camaraderie is just built through, I think, just time. And he's only been in the program now for 5 months, but it's just, you know, when you latch on to those guys, they have a tendency to play hard for you. And then he's just a humble kid too. I mean, he's just gracious and just always. He understands the important things. He's been raised right. So he's a joy to, I'd say it goes with the whole team. They're stressful and joyful to coach at the same time.
And I love what you guys call him. I think I saw that online as well. You call him Easy, right? Just capital E, capital Z. Is that what you guys call him? Easy? Easy
Osborne? Yeah, that's his nickname. Easy, yeah. Ezekiel. He just goes by Easy. And actually he's had that nickname for a while. So I've known him as Easy. And he just came in. And that's really his mentality. He's really laid back. I mean, I think having a quarterback, especially playing for me, because, I mean, I'm a lineman. I just know one way of talking to you. And learned really, really soon, don't necessarily pay attention to how I say it. It's what I'm saying. And that actually came from quarterbacks in the past that have talked to him that played for me. And he's just, yes, coach, I got Absolutely. You. Okay, I understand. So I think he might be in his heart a little bit of a lineman, which makes him good.
That's why you connect with him so well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So give us, obviously, we're based in Fresno, and, you know, we're Fresno Clovis-centric, and we give as much love as we can to some of our rural schools. And, you know, Kennedy had that great run, and obviously they're section champions after beating Sunnyside. But give us a little more about what football is like in Shafter. We drive by it on the freeway on our way down south, but give us a little bit more about, like, you and your coaching, how long you've been there, and the town of Shafter.
Well, I'm an alumni of Shafter. I graduated in 1994. My parents went to Shafter. They graduated in the 60s. Yeah, the 60s. My dad was late 60s. My mom was early 70s. And this community is just, they love their football program. I think it's kind of like the whole idea of the central section. I mean, in the state of California, we are just a bit of a slice of, like, Texas, right? I mean, And that's this team. That our team really mimics the hardworking people of our community. They're all blue collar workers that go out every day to provide for their families and provide for their kids. And these kids just come in every day, and I think the biggest thing is they've bought into what we do. And it starts in the weight room, in the classroom, and it starts through doing philanthropy in our communities around us, because we not only have Shafter, we have Buttonwillow, that's a really small town. We have Smith's Corners, that's a small town outside of Shafter. I mean, if you could be a suburb of a suburb, right? But this community just loves its football program. And I've been here, this is my seventh year. I coached and taught in Vegas for 9 years before coming back to Bakersfield. I took the head job at East High. I was there for three. I got fired. And then I was at PCHS for 4 years before I got let go there, before Darren took the job. And then I was at BC for a year up there doing tight ends and H's. And then I got the head job here at Shafter. And now my family moved out here. I live in the community. My girls go to Shafter High School. I'm a teacher there. And I love the school. I love the community.
That's awesome.
And it's a great city to live in.
And the last title for Shafter was in 1955, yeah. And I did a little research, and that's when gas was 29 cents a gallon. So go back and think of the time when Shafter. I wonder, you know, is there a? We only got a couple minutes here, Coach. Is there like a display case in your school anywhere with some of the old football trophies? Was there even a trophy in 1950? I'm sure there was.
No,
do you even know where it might be?
There wasn't. No, there was no trophies back then. I don't think so. I mean, but I have some of the old stuff. I mean, the problem with old schools is sometimes people take care of stuff and sometimes people don't as you go through the years. I mean, we're going to be 100 years old in 28. So you have a lot of history that has gone through that school. And this one will, if it ever leaves my hands, will be displayed up in the front office for people to come and look at.
No. Oh, that'd be fantastic. And, you know, I know how special these small communities are, and we love it. And I know, you know, on your side, Shafter, you know, the thrills of victory, and Carruthers, you know, you went into that town, and, you know, it's probably a little bit bigger than Shafter, but you guys took care of business. So, Coach, really appreciate you coming on, man. You were able to connect around 1:30 in the morning last night, and you
yes.
finally texted me back and said, yeah, I could come on the show. So really appreciate you coming on. Good luck next week. You got another game to play as well. Hopefully you got a state championship game in your future. So congratulations on your success. Really appreciate you coming on.
All right, thanks, Paul. You have a great day.
All right, you bet. All right, great show, man. We are, this is how we end it. Phenomenal 2 hours of high school football. Congrats to all the teams that won Central Section Championships last night. Thank you to First String Sports, Jorge, Gabe Camarillo, Cam Worrell, Mark Tennis from Cal High Sports, Ty Chambers from Division II Champion Lemoore, Gerald Perucci, who we just talked to from Shafter. Have a great week, everyone, and we will talk to you soon.
You're listening to the home of the San Francisco Giants, KFIG Fresno, 1430 ESPN.